mitzvah that we have. So one is Melchemes Amalek. It says in the Chumash, Melchama Lashem Amalek Midor Dor. The Pashta says that it's not a Chiyuv Hariga, that there's a mitzvah to kill every person from the nation of Amalek. If I'm walking down the block and I'm bumping into an Amaleki, the Rambam doesn't say there that there's a Chiyuv to kill him. Pashta says the Jewish people has to organize an army. The Hazanish writes a whole essay about different Hilchas Melchama. He has it in the Sefer, the end of the second Perek, the end of the first Perek in Erevin. Why is it the end of the first Perek in Erevin? That's where the Mishnah has the Dinin. Avod Varm Potra B'machna. The Chachamim said that there are four leniencies, four kulas, if you have a Machna Yisrael. So the Chazanish says, what are some of the Dinim HaMachna? It says, Nechumash V'hoya Manecha Kodosh. You have to be careful not to have Meiraglaim, not to have Tzoyah, not to have Erevo. Liyor Bucha Erev Azdob. And the Gemara learns that from those Psukim in Brochus in the second Perek. You're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to say Brochus, you're not allowed to learn Torah, Keneged Erevo, Keneged Tzoyah, Keneged Meiraglaim. What has it got to do with davening? The Pasuk is not talking about learning, it's not talking about davening, it's talking about the soldiers in the army. So the Netziv has a fantastic suggestion. He claims that in his Hakdomah to his Biur on the Shiltas, he says that the Gemara has a tradition that all Melchamas in the world are the fault of the Jewish people. That's what the Umas Olam say also. We're responsible for all the wars in the world. So the Gemara says like that. All Melchamas are because of Bitul Torah, because we're not learning well. So the Baruch Shalom wants to wake us up, we shall learn. So he makes a Melchama somewhere far away. And if we don't get the hint, then he makes the Muhammad come closer to us. Then if we still don't get the hint, then he makes the Muhammad by us, in our backyard. We're involved in the Muhammad. But all Muhammads are because of Bitul Torah. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that in the days of one of the Malchi Yisrael, they had a gzera that everyone has to know, all the dinim of Tumah v'Tarah, everybody has to learn, call it Torah Kula. The Gemara says, they were Baidik Midon Bad Be'er Sheva, they were biting from north to the south. Everybody knew Olchus Tumah v'Tarah. What right did the king have to force everyone to sit and learn? If you don't want to learn this, so you answer with Kriyash Mashachas V'Arvis. The answer was this was for the war effort, because the king was afraid they're going to lose the war. So he insisted everybody has to learn Torah. So the Netziv has this fantastic Chiddush, that whenever they went to war, they used to have a battalion of Hezdanikim sitting and learning on the front. When it says in the Chumash, you have to be careful from Tzoyah, Meraglaim, and Erevo, it's in that machane where the soldiers are sitting learning in the front. There they have to be careful. The Pashtus is not like that. He quotes himself, the Gemara in Makkah says, Omdus Hoyeraglein b'sharayach Yerushalayim. So the Gemara interprets, Omdus Hoyeraglein b'molchama, that the soldiers of the Jewish army were successful in battle in the schus of Shari Yerushalayim. That they were learning in the yeshivas and the kodalim in Yerushalayim. Not that they had the soldiers on the front were learning in the middle of the Muhammad where they're shooting missiles and bullets and so on. No, the people learning at home, the schus of Liman HaTorah, they were successful in that. So what's Dakar Pshat in the Pasuk? How do you learn out from that Pasuk that you have to be careful for Tzoyim, Eraglaim, and Erevo when you're learning or davening? The answer is, the Pasuk gives you the answer. The answer says you have to be careful for Glaim and Erev, because Hashem alakecha misalach dekerav machanecha lahatzilech velosin zayvecha v'yodecha oye machanecha kodesh. It says why, because the Shekhinah is there. Kodesh Baruch Hu promises the Shekhinah will be there. How many soldiers do you have to have together that the Shekhinah will be there? Let's say they send one person on a mission, they send one soldier on a mission, you should put a bomb somewhere, or you should assassinate someone in the middle of a Muhammad. So that has a dina machne Israel. So the Rabbeinu Hanana, end of the first parak in Eredin, quotes in the Yerushalmi. The Chazanish talks about this on that Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Eredin. Quotes Yerushalmi, there were three opinions. One opinion is, if you have 10 soldiers, if you have a minion of Jews, kol be'asar shchin tasharia, le'av ashuas ashchina. Another opinion is you have to have 100. Another opinion is you have to have, I think, 1,000. Each one is based on different psukim. So the Chazanish, I think, quotes a Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. The Magen Mishnah seems to assume the Rambam doesn't say explicitly how we pass it. So I think the Magen Mishnah assumes that the Maskon is that it's 10. like a minyan. Dovshet v'kedushim, we assume the Shechina will be there. Kol be'asara, Shechina shai does mean, like Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that 10 Jews are reading the Morgen Journal. 10 Jews are reading the Yiddish newspaper. That's not a hashuas hashchina, because 10 people are together. These 10 people are reciting Dovshet v'kedushim. Then they're there. So the pasuk says, if you have 10 soldiers sponsored by the Jewish army. Jewish army means, but not that there's a Jewish legion in the British army. That's not called the Jewish army. That's not called Matnei Yisrael. And even if it's true, they have a tradition. They claim that the Queen of England is a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. Even if it would be true, but she's not the queen over Eretz Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael means a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. The beginning of Rosh Hashanah says Al Pidin. There's a separate status Malchus Yisrael. A Malchus Umas Oil, a Malchus Yisrael, you count. In America, they count how many years it is since HaKamas HaMedina, they switch on July 4th. And in Eretz Yisrael, they switch on Hei Iyar, the 5th of the year. So Al Pidin, they're both wrong. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that by Malchus Umas Oil, we're supposed to count the new year after Echad B'Tishrei. Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Umas Oil. And Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Yisrael. So you shouldn't wait till Hei Iyar. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, let's say sometimes people write in a wedding invitation, or they write in a bar mitzvah invitation, they'll write how many years it is, instead of writing, or in addition to writing, Shnas Tov Shinai involved, they'll write how many years it is since HaKamas HaMedina. So what do you write if it's in between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Hei Iyar? So you write the next year, because when that's a Malchus Yisrael, the Jewish government then writes itself as a Malchus Yisrael. So that's a question, how do you determine whether it's a Jewish government or not? Has to be a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Does it mean they have to be religious? There has to be controlled by Rabbanim. It wouldn't appear so. The Gemara says regarding Artaxasta, who is the king, he was the son of Achashverosh. He was the king in the beginning of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the butler to the king, and he served him breakfast in bed, and so on, the whole story. So Artaxasta, first Rashi writes on Nehemiah, Perikal, Pasakal, that Artaxasta was the son of Esther Hamalka. So his mother was Jewish. So Bimikre, it happened to be that he was Jewish. And he was the king of Sheva, Yesem, and May Medina. Bimikre, one of the Medinas in the middle happened to be Eretz Yisrael. So Bimikre, he was a Jewish king over Eretz Yisrael. But that makes it a Malchus Yisrael. So the Gemara has stiras. The Gemara beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, asteris between different psukim and ksuvim, where the years of Artaxasta begin, you start counting the new year from Rosh Chodesh Nisan or from Echad B'Tishrei. So the Gemara says, kan lacha she'echmitz. Echmitz means when wine turns into vinegar, it gets spoiled, it's ruined. So when a person was religious and then he gives up his religious observance, that's called hechmitz. So the Gemara says he was never religious, he was the son of Achashverosh. His mother was Esther Amalka. She was a tzaddikus, but she wasn't able to give him a yeshiva education. His father was a goy gomer. So he was never too observant. But koyim shechmitz means kozman that his mother's influence meant something to him. He felt he's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. He had a perception that that there's something happening there, Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So then he had the status of Malchus Yisrael. But then after the influence of the mother wore off, after she passed away, then no more didn't mean anything to him. The fact that he's Jewish and the fact that he's the king over Eretz Yisrael. Totally secular government. So then it's Malchus Umasoylam. So the Queen of England is not called, even when the Queen of England may have had Eretz Yisrael under her control, I can't call that Malchus, even if it's true that they're descendants from Malchus Beis David, that's not called Malchus Yisrael. There was no perception on the part of the King of England or the Queen of England or anybody that this was a Jewish government. The government now in Eretz Yisrael is a Jewish government. They have the law of return, that one is Jewish can become a citizen overnight, and one is not Jewish takes a while till he becomes a citizen. There are discriminatory laws discriminating, distinguishing between Jews and non-Jews, because according to the document, the Declaration of Independence, this is a Jewish country. In the days of the Tanakh, there were kings who forced all the Jews to worship Avodah Zarah, But the Gemara says that had a din of Malchus Zohar, because that was, they all knew that's a Jewish Avodah Zohar. The Goyim didn't worship that Avodah Zohar. Everybody knew. The perception was that's a Jewish Avodah Zohar, and it's a Jewish government. The perception today certainly is that it's a Jewish government. That's why the Russia for so many years was opposed to Eretz Yisrael, and the Arabs were opposed, yeah. The perception certainly is that it's a Jewish government. Before the government was established, when they had the Palmach, were just giving the British a hard time. So the Chazon Ish wrote his sefer then, when before the Hakamas HaMedina, that sefer, difference from written at different times. The Chazon Ish writes that that doesn't have the status of there's no Malchus Yisrael, there's no Jewish government before 1948. So you can't call the Palmach Machne Yisrael. So all these dinim, that Vayim Machanecha Kaddish, and you have to be careful from Erva, Tzoyim, Eraglam, and so on, all the dinim didn't apply. It's a nice thing to have a clean army base, but the halachas didn't apply. So that's what the Chazon Ish has a whole essay about the various aspects of Milchama at the end of the first parak in Erevin, yeah.
The time of Yehoshua, when there wasn't a Jewish nation, like there wasn't a country yet, you say the same thing applies, that it wasn't a
Machane
Israel?
You have to say that that was different. The Gemara says we don't recite Halal. On Purim. The Gemara says, Hakam and Chaniki. You do recite Halal on Purim, you don't recite Halal. The Gemara gives three different explanations in Megillah. And Daf Yudalad, and in Erech and Daf Yud. So one of the explanations is that you don't recite Halal on a Neshe B'chutz Lorz. So I think the Gemara asked the question, so what about Leil Pesach, you say Halav, that was a Nesha B'chutz Lortz. Tzias Mitzah Makas B'charetz was a Nesha B'chutz Lortz. So the Gemara says, Kodim Shenivcha, why don't you recite Halav on a Nesha B'chutz Lortz? Why not? What's wrong? What's the discrimination? So the Menchas Chinuch says, because Chutz Lortz, all the Jewish people are considered Yechidim. The Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asked, how can we say Halav on Leil Pesach? Halal on Pesach is not for the nest, that's halal of Yontif, Simchas Yontif, but halal on Leil Pesach, Balayla, that's over the nest. So the Gemara says, Achela Nivcha Eretz Yisrael, how you call our Rotzis Ksheris Lahala? What does it mean? Klal Yisrael, when it started for Yachad as a nation at Har Sinai. And before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, so wherever they were considered Klal Yisrael. After they entered Eretz Yisrael, so then only the Jews who happen to be living in Eretz Yisrael have the status. We have the Rambam says you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael because smicha is a function of the tzibur, gives the smicha. Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibar HaShon, and the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you can only do in Eretz Yisrael because it's a function of the tzibur. The tzibur declares when Rosh Chodesh should be, Shonam Uberes, and so on. So that idea that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael consider Klal Yisrael, that was Mishinich Yisrael HaOretz. Before they moved into Eretz Yisrael, after Maimon HaSinai, the Jewish people had the status of a Klal Yisrael. So Yeshua ben Nun's army had the status of Machne Yisrael. But after they entered Eretz Yisrael, so that's what the Chazon Ish writes. He thinks that when the soldiers go, sometimes they have to send the soldiers to Chutz Lortz to wage war. But if the government, the Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, has an army that's sponsored by the Jewish government, then it's called Machne Yisrael. If you don't have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, then it's not called Machne Yisrael. Deze v'shul manun was koidim shenivchor Eretz Yisrael. I think it is correct. So again, so there are different types of melchamas. So you can only call a melchamas mitzvah if it's a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So then you have a din. The Pasha Pshat is that if you're walking down the street, you bump into an Amaleki, you're not mukhiv to kill him. It's not a chiv hariga. It's a mitzvah. Muhammad means sponsored by the Jewish army, which is sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Israel. They have in the biographies of the Chasam Sefer that on one occasion he identified somebody as an Amaleki. He could tell by his facial features. That's what it says in the storybooks. And he told the people that they should drown him in the mikveh. So they killed him. I don't think it's true. When you identify a person as Amaleki, there's a chiyuv to kill him. There is no such thing. The Rambam writes that in a get the Zayinumis, Achrim Tachrimim. Achrim Tachrimim is a chiyuv hariga. You have to kill all the Zayinumis. And even the Rambam writes, if one individual person is walking down the street and he bumps into one of the Zionumas, he has a chiyuv to kill him if he thinks that he can get away with it. He's not going to get away with it. Let's say he will chiyuv to shake a lulav on, so he will chiyuv to listen to Tkiyah Shofar Rashan. What if you're going to listen to Tkiyah Shofar and they're going to put you in prison because of that? Are you mechayiv to do a mitzvah to be put into prison? Probably not mechayiv to. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Nun, Hamavazvez al Yavazvez Yosef Micham Shema Yayori Shema Yayoni Itztarach Labrias. The Gemara says, if you want to give charity to the poor, you're not allowed to give more than Chaimish, because you may make yourself poor. And charity begins at home. What are you giving over to the poor people? You're going to make yourself poor. It doesn't make any sense. So that's a din in Tzdoraniyim. The Shita Mekubetzes on that daf, the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef quotes the Shita Mekubetzes on that daf in Ksubas Daf Nun, where he points out from the Gemara, if the money is going to support yeshivas, to support the Temichas Torah, then there's no such restriction. The people who make appeals for yeshivas always mention that. The din of the limit on the Vazuz, Ayyavaz Yosef Mechamish doesn't apply, only applies if you're giving to Dakalanim. If you're giving to support yeshivas, you don't have such a limitation. But the din of Hamavaz v'zayivaz yosef mechamish is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, not only in the context of giving tzedakah to the poor. The Rambam quotes it in Hilchas Lulav. Let's say a fellow is in Alaska and it's Erev Sukkos and he doesn't have dalan minim, and the only way to get dalan minim is to spend all of his life's savings. So the Rambam says, you're not mechayiv to spend more than chaimish to fulfill a mitzvah. The Rambam has that in Hilchas Lulav, in Arachayim. Then he has it again in Yeridea. This is Siman Kuf Nun Zayin about Yehoreg Bal Yavar. To what extent is one obligated to be Moisa Nefesh to observe mitzvahs? So by Avodah Zarah Gelei Shu Chazdamim, you're obligated literally to be Moisa Nefesh, even to give up your life, even if it means that by not worshipping Avodah Zarah, or by not violating Gelei Arayis, you're going to lose your life. So be it. That's the halacha, that we assume that life is not worth living if you're going to have to violate Avodah Zarah, Gelei Arayis, and Shu Chazdamim. With respect to other averis, we don't say that you have to be Moisa Nefesh literally. We say you have to spend even your last penny not to be Mechal Shabbos. But that's a mitzvah sloises. But with respect to mitzvah saseh, there the Rambam writes in Yeridah, same Kufn and Zayin, same as what he wrote in Hilchas Lulav. You're not obligated to spend more than 1/5 of your total savings in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah extends it. Let's say a person is going to do a mitzvah and then is going to be put in jail. It's worse than chaimish. There's more than chaimish. Let's say a guy's going to do a mitzvah and they're going to fire him from his job. Fire losing a job, maybe that's considered more than chaimish, unless it's easy to get a job. But if it's not so easy to get another job, that's considered more than chaimish to lose your job. So if one is walking down the block and you identify someone as one of the Zainumas, so the Rambam says, if he can get away with it, then he's mukhif to do the mitzvah, hachrem tachrimim. If they're going to put him in jail, are they going to kill him? So you're not mukhif to be moisa nefesh, and I'm mukhif to go to jail in order to fulfill the mitzvah of hachrem tachrimim. His man is there, the Rambam says, the whole Zainumas don't exist anymore. Bos and chervet bilbal is kolon kuloi, so you don't have any in the Zainumas anymore. The Mishnah said the same with respect to Amayni Mayavi, and many Rishonim say the same applies to Mitzvi Ve'adoimi. We assume also the people in Egypt today are not descendants from the original Egyptians who were there in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sancher was Mavalbal Kol Olam Kula, said nobody has this. So you don't have any more Mitzvi Ve'adoimi, we assume. You don't have any more Amayni Mayavi, you don't have any more Dezainum. So that din of Hachrim Tachrim doesn't apply. By Amalek, the Rambam never wrote that. He writes by the Zainumas, they don't exist anymore, because the Mishnah explains, how come he doesn't write it by Amalek? By Amalek also, who knows who Amalek is? So that's what many years ago Rav Soloveitchik said over a Chiddush and a Mizrahi convention, when the German government offered to give reparations money to Medinas Yisrael to give back some of the money that was stolen from the Jews during the Holocaust, and they gave back a small fraction of the money. So there was a big debate in the Knesset at that time whether they should accept the offer or not. So they were debating, is it ethical? Because if we'll accept the offer, we'll be conveying the mistaken impression to the German government as if they're going to get a kapara, as if they'll be, their avera will be absolved. They won't burn in Gehenna for killing all those Jews. So Soloveitchik thought that it's not right. We have no right to take the money to convey such a mistaken impression as if they're going to get a mechilas avinas by giving a few million dollars after they killed so many people. So that was in the debate that they had in the Knesset. Rav Soloveitchik thought also it was not ethical. And then he came up with another idea that he said he heard from his father. And apparently other occasions he said he heard it from his name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. But I don't know, I thought that he said he heard it from his father. I remember I was a little boy before my bar mitzvah, and my family lived in Philadelphia at the time, and there was no yeshiva for me. I went to the day school there, and there was no day school after the fifth grade or something. So most of the religious parents who wanted their children to have a Jewish education sent them to Baltimore. And my parents sent me to New York because I had grandparents who lived in New York, and I went to Yeshiva Ketana here in New York. So I was always complaining about my grandmother's cooking, and I was always making fun of her Galiziana Yiddish. So my father had to come every couple of weeks. I was always crying. I wasn't happy. So my father always had to take me home to Philadelphia every couple of weeks. So once on a Thursday night, he was going to take me home. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was scheduled to speak for the Mizrahi that night about this topic, about whether they should accept the reparations money. So my father made a calculation. He was going to go here, Rabbi Soloveitchik speak, then pick me up. We're going to miss the last Greyhound bus back to Philadelphia. So he picked me up before, and he took me to hear Rabbi Soloveitchik's talk. I must have been 10 years old. So I remember that, and then later on he printed what he said. So he said in the name of his father that the Rambam never wrote a Kvarov Ad Zichron by Amalek. So apparently Amalek is still around. How can Amalek still be around? Bosan Chevet Bilbal is Kalon Kuloi. So Amun Amoyev don't exist, and the Zainumas don't exist, and even Mitzri Vadaimei, Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. We assume that Mitzriim today are not the same Mitzriim as they were before. Nobody's the same. So Amalek is also not the same. So his father came up with a chiddush that any nation who adopts as a policy that they want to wipe out the entire Jewish people and they don't believe in God, that's how the pasuk says. So that's the definition of Amalek. They don't necessarily have to be biological descendants from the original Amalek. Any nation who adopts such a position. So he said that Al Pi Pashtus, the Nazis were atheists. They weren't Christians. So he assumed that that's how they say. Reb Chaim Moisel said also, many others said like that, that the Nazis had a din of Amalek. And in Amalek, there's a machlokes harishonim based on a mechilta passage in the mechilta on Parshas Bishalach. The end of Parshas Bishalach, whether you just have to kill the Amalekim, the people, or Mishor Bat Chamor. When Shmuel HaNovi told Shaul HaMelech he has to kill that Mishor Bat Chamor, was that a Hirah Shoah just on that one occasion, or was that the interpretation of the Din L'Doris? Tim Chazech Amalek goes on the Behemoth also. So that's a Mefurish HaMachlek Yisrael Rishon. Rav Soloveitchik said at that time they're not allowed to take any reparations money from the Germans because they had the Din of Amalek.
How far
does
that go? Meaning nowadays also, is it still
like
their grandchildren?
I don't know. So someone published years later, someone published the name of one of the Soloveitchiks in Eretz Yisrael, that he didn't agree with what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. And he said that the Rambam writes in the Moreh Nevuchim, why did the Chumash tell us Eilat told us Esav? Why does the Chumash tell us all the descendants of Esav? What's the significance? What does it mean to us? So the Rambam says you have to know who Amalek is. So the Torah tells you who Amalek is, because you can't stop kill anybody else. So the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim is Beferish, that Amalek are only the biological descendants, that person who was Amalek. So it's important to know who is Amalek. So it seems Beferish against what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested, that any nation who is Lo Yorei Elokim, any nation who doesn't believe in God and adopts as its policy to wipe out the Jewish people, as it did of Amalek. So that's what they printed in one of the Torah journals that what Rabbi Soloveitchik said can't be correct. They didn't write explicitly, but they were implying that what he said is not correct because the Rambam and the Mor Nebuch. So then someone responded to that, and they said that there used to be a big Talmud Chacham years ago, Rav Guzman, Rabbi Saul Guzman. A lot of the students use his Kuntres Sei Shiurim. He wrote out his Shiurim on different Masechtas. He was a very big. He went to Siberia. He was a big Talmud Chacham before the war. He was a Dayan in Vilna at the age of 18, I think. It's a whole story. He was a Dayan with Rav Chaim Eisen. And then after in the middle of the war, he was in Siberia. He was out of learning for a long time. Then when he came to America, he established a yeshiva here, came back to himself, then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was very famous Magid Shir, very famous Talmud Chacham. So different Talmidim of Rav Guzman printed over different things that he said in addition to what he himself printed, the Kuntres Sei Shiurim, they printed over different Mamorim, the different Vertlach that he said. So one of them was that he said, he once asked Rav Chaim Eiser in the middle of the war, What does he think? What status does he think the Nazis have? So Rav Chaim Eiser said, I would tend to agree with the other Gedolei HaTorah of the generation that the Nazis have a din of Amalek. So he said, Rav Chaim Eiser said that the Gedolei HaTorah all said like that. It's not Rav Soloveitchik invented it from thin air. Rav Chaim Eiser said he would tend to agree with the other Gedolei HaTorah. So this is a question.
But the Germans, Christians.
Now,
on the belt buckle of the German army, it had this phrase, Gott ist mit uns.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. So the Pashtus and the Rambam is that by Zayin Umis, it's a mitzvah Hachrim Tachrimim. You don't have to have Melchama. If you want to wipe out a whole nation from the Zayin Umis, mainly you're going to have Melchama. But it doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of a Melchama. But Amalek, the Pashtus is that there is no chiyuv to kill an individual Amaleki. The only time there's a mitzvah to kill an Amaleki is if there's a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish people. That you have to be Orech Melchama. So that's a din of Melchama. Then we mentioned yesterday also, the Rambam uses the Lashonis when he writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the din of Irin Hidachas, has a whole perek about Irin Hidachas. Here in the Masechta is the last three blot in Perek Chelek. So the Rambam uses Lashonis and he carries over dinim from the story in Sefer Yeshua. And Yeshua ben Nun heard a rumor that they were made a mizbeach in Eber HaYarden, and they were bringing korbanos. It turned out that it wasn't true. The rumor was not true. They made a mizbeach that everyone should realize that we have a central mizbeach in Eretz Yisrael where we bring all the korbanos. But they didn't bring any korbanos on that mizbeach. They made a symbolic mizbeach that everyone should realize that we are Avdei Hashem. We worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they didn't violate Shechut Chutz. But Yeshua ben Nun heard a rumor, so he said he's going to send two Talmid HaChachamim to give them Techacha, and if they'll be Chozer B'Tshuva, fine, and if not, we have to put together an army. But not so Aleim LaMelchama, we have to wage war. So the Rambam writes, when you have an Irin Hidachas, and 51% of the people in the city worship the Avodah Zarah, so the Bez Nagolo should send two Rabbanim to try to get them to be Chozer B'Tshuva. The Chozer B'Tshuva Mutov. So the Rebbe says, Mutov? I never heard of such a thing. The Rebbe has an expression, Yofa HaDover, Shetoel HaTshuva. Very nice idea, Tshuva should help. But he says, Lamotzina, we never found Haruge Bezen. And the punishment of Bezen Shalmaila, if a person does Tshuva, Bezen Shalmaila doesn't punish. But Bezen Shalmata punishes. Rav Soloveitchik's marshal was, that's a guy was Mechal Shabbos, and then 60 years later, he becomes a Chassidish Rebbe. Now he's a holy tzaddik. And the Edom come and they testify. The guy was Mechal Shabbos 50, 60 years ago with Edom Hasroa. So they give him Misa, even though now he's a holy tzaddik with a shtraimul and the whole works. Tshuva doesn't help in Bezen Shalmata. It helps only Bezen Shalmaila. That's the Ravid's Kasha and the Rambam. Taka, what's Pshat in the Rambam? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said Pshat, like the Ragachova has in his Sefer, Tzofnes Panech. Ala Rambam. Tzofnes Panech says Pshat. if Yechidim worship Avodah Zarah, we give them Sechila, and we don't burn down their houses. If the city is declared as an Eir Nidachas, then we give them Sayef, and we burn down their houses. So the Rambam meant to say, if they're Chayzeh B'tshuva, they don't have a din, we won't declare the city as Eir Nidachas, we'll give them the death penalty of Sechila. The Rambam most agrees with the Rebbe. Tshuva helps, correct. Tshuva helps with respect to that you don't declare the city as an Eir Nidachas. Where do you get that from? You got it from the story in Yeshua ben Nun, and say for Yeshua, because Yeshua said, let's send two Rabbanim. Mamash, that's what the Yerusha Melech says. He's quoting from the story in Yeshua. Let's send two Rabbanim, and if if they'll be Chayzeh B'tshuva, so we won't burn down the whole, we won't give it a din of an Eir Nidachas. And where did he get that from? Where did he get that from? Often they say for Yeshua, but where did Yeshua get that from? Where does it say that in the Chumash? That the Chayzeh B'tshuva. So some later Svarim write, I think that Shabina Rav has this in his Sefer, that the Mishnah has a comment about Eir Nidachas. Yotzu Anoshim Yikerbecha Vayadichos Yoshvi Yirom Lema. Yotzu Anoshim Shemeyayla. What do you mean Yotzu Anoshim? What do you mean Yotzu? So the Mishnah says, Sheyotzu Meyayloma, that they were medir the whole city that they're all going to lose the oilam abo. So the only time people lose the oilam abo, that's a punishment. That's if they're not chayzeh b'tshuva. You're chayzeh b'tshuva, you do have oilam abo. So that sounds like the Mishnah is saying that's one of the conditions of Eir Nidachas. The only time you have a din of Eir Nidachas is if it's yotzu anoshim mikirbecha, yotzu mi'olamam. If they lose their olam haba, it means that nobody was chayzeh b'tshuva. But if you get the people to be chayzeh b'tshuva, you give them the death penalty like yechidim. You won't give them the din yidachas, give them like yechidim. So the Rambam uses a melitza that he got from Sefer Yeshua also, that if we send the two talmid chachamim to be machzeh them b'tshuva and they don't listen, so then you have the Jewish government has an obligation to put together an army and tzorim aleihem la mulchama. That's the lotion that he got from Yeshua. Tzor b'aleim la melchama. What are you going to say? That's a din of melchama. You see, whenever you have a din of melchama, so there's a heter to kill the other people. You need a heter etzicha. Let's say you're going to wage war against Nachri. You're not allowed to kill a Nachri. There's a debate. There was a big machlokes 100 years ago. Well, the killing, if one kills a Nachri, so you're not chayv misa. So the question is, does it mean there's a lav of loisirtzach but there's no einish misa, or it's a lesser lav? It's not a lav loisirtzach, there certainly is a lav. You're not allowed to cheat a nachri, you're not allowed to harm a nachri, so you're certainly not allowed to kill a nachri. Maybe it's not a nisa vitzila, that's the question. So you look at the Rambam has the first line in Hilchas Vetzeach Hashmiras Nefesh, doesn't read straight. It was doctored up. They changed the lashon. Right after Gzeila Aveda, Hilchos Ratzeach Shmiras Nefesh. Kol Horig Nefesh Ben Adam Oiver Beloisesu Shenemar Loisirtzach. That's Hebrew. Kol Horig Nefesh Ben Adam. Very strange. So in the new edition of the Rambam, the Frankel edition of the Rambam, they have from manuscripts that the correct reading was called Horig Nefesh Mi Yisrael, Oiver Beloisirtzach. That if you kill a Nachri, it's not Loisirtzach. And they were afraid of the censor. So they changed it. So that's why the way we have it doesn't read straight. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva where he didn't want to say this explicitly. He talks about if you have a person who's brain dead, and here in America they would permit you to take his vital organs and give them to someone else. So Shlomo Zalman held that brain death is not dead. So if you're going to take his vital organs, you're killing him. So you're not allowed to do it. So you're not allowed to do it. So Shlomo Zalman writes a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lortz. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to do it. In Chutz Lortz, you are allowed to. Why? So someone interpreted, one of the faculty members interpreted, because in Eretz Yisrael, he's the Poisek. In Chutz Lortz, Rabbi Tendler is the Poisek. So in Chutz Lortz, we follow Rabbi Tendler. So you're allowed to. Shlomo doesn't write that. He says, I in Frankel edition of the Rambam, And then he says, there's a prisha on the bottom of the tour. You have the drisha prisha on the bottom of the tour. So when the tour has a siman kuf chav ches, hilchas nesias kapayim, as the din hargas hanefesh leisas kapov. Koin shargas hanefesh, not allowed to do. Based on a pasuk in Haftorah of Chazoy, in the first chapter in Yeshaya. How does it say? How does it begin? Uvefarischem kapechem. Uvefarischem kapechem. Alameina miken, idechem domim aleu. So the Gemara interprets uvefarischem kapechem when the Kohanim duchen, because they do be priestess kapayim. Alameina miken, idechem domim aleu. Because our coin shark is unnefesh, Lisa's kapov. So the preacher writes on the bottom of the tour, that's only of Horeg Yisrael. Horeg ben Noyach, so the din doesn't apply. So this line in the preacher was removed by the census. But they didn't read the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim quotes the Prisha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, I am Prima Gadim Mishem HaPrisha. And I am Frankel's edition of the Rambam, the first line, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Hanuchas Ratzeach Shmeyos Nefesh. So what he's adding out is that in Chutz Loretz, Rove of the people are Nochrim. So Tequila Nochri is not Laisir Tzoch, it's a different Yisr. But it's not Laisir Tzoch, so therefore you don't say Harag Vayavar. So you permitted to kill Anachim. That's what he's driving at. He didn't spell it. He didn't want to spell that out, even in Hebrew. So he wrote, B'chutz l'aretz, but the rive of the people who are brain dead are going to be Nachrim. So he permitted to do it. But in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to, because the rive of the people are Yisraelim, are Yehudim. So you're not allowed to kill a person in order to save someone else's life. So that's Machloikas, but the killing of Nachri is an Issa Laisir Tzach, or it's lesser an Issa, but it certainly is an Issa. So how can you go to wage war? How can you go, let's say, Melchemes or Rishus? Melchemes Mitzvah, you have no choice. The Torah said you have to go to war. So the Torah said you have to kill people. What about Melchemes or Rishus? What do you mean? They decide on their own. They're going to go to war because they have no Parnassah. They come to Dovin HaMelech, the Gemara has the whole Agadita on the bottom of Tezayin HaMan Aleph, going over to Omid Beis, and the same Gemara appears in Brochus and Dav Gimel Omid Beis. Come to David HaMelech and they say no one has any parnassah. So he says, go to war. And whenever you go to war, so that'll they'll bring in money and there'll be a parnassah. So you're allowed to go to war just like this to kill people. So you have to have rishus from the Bez Nagorim to go to war, Melchemes or rishus. And you have to have rishus from the Urim Tumim. Urim Tumim is the highest level of Nebuah that we have. What weighs the highest level of Nebuah? And Mar says in Masechet Shabbos that sometimes if a Navi says Benavua that some tragedy is going to occur, so it's self understood that it's Allah Tanai. If the people are Chayze B'tshuva, then the tragedy may not occur. If a Navi tells a Nevuah L'Toivah that some wonderful thing is going to happen and it doesn't happen, so Nevuah L'Toivah is not a sum to be conditioned. Nevuah L'Toivah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to change his mind. But a Nevuah L'Ra, it's self understood that it's conditional, except Urim B'tumim. That's absolute. The Latoiv or the Rod, that's going to be absolute. That's the highest level of Nevuah that you can have. So in order to wage war, in order to go to a Melchemes or Rishus, you have to have authorization from the Gemara learns that from Sukkim and Dibra Yom. You have to have authorization for the Bez Nagolah. Then after the Bez Nagolah, you have to first consult the Yoyitz. Does it make sense or not? The Bez Nagolah, they have Rabbanim sitting learning a base manager. How do they know whether it makes sense or not? How do they know whether they're going to be successful? There's no mitzvah to go fight a losing battle. The only time there's a mitzvah to fight a losing battle is by Avodah Zarah, Ge'ilah Ra'is, and Shvi'ah Chazon. That's called Yehoreg Vayavar. Otherwise, there's no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. When you go touring in Eretz Yisrael, so they take you to Masada, and they tell you that these kanoim, they felt that you're not allowed to surrender to the enemy, even if it means that the enemy is, you're not allowed to give up in the war, even if it means that you're going to lose the war, and every last man is going to lose his life. So that's Shalobitzon Chachamim. The tour guides always say that the Tanaim held not so. Rabbi Yochanan Zaka was the chief rabbi. He wanted to make peace with the Romans because he knew they lost the war already. If you lost the war, so there's no mitzvah to keep on fighting. Well, just to lose men? No mitzvah to fight. The only time you have to fight a losing battle is Yehoreg Vayavar. That's it. You have to give up your life.
If a Navi tells you to violate the Torah, you're supposed to listen?
The Navi tells you?
To violate the Torah, you're supposed to listen?
The Gemara later has, if a Navi tells you to worship Avodah Zarah, even though Hayra Shoah, we know that he's a Novi Asheker. But if he tells you to violate any other din other than Avodah Zarah La'ira Shoah, then if he has been established as a Novi Yemes, first he has to be a Novi Muchzok. He has to establish himself with Osus and Mopsim, has to predict the future a few times. So then if he predicts the future, so then he establishes himself as a Nabi, then you have to listen even to violate Dina Torah in Russia. Unless the Nabi comes and he says, if Baruch Shalom changes his mind, you don't have to keep Shatnas anymore. You don't have to keep Kashus anymore. So then to be Yoker, a whole mitzvah, the Doris, then we assume he's a Nabi Ashek. Why would this are even in Russia?
Because the Urim Tum was telling you to buy it a lot. How was that allowed?
Yeah.
We're saying it didn't have Osos and Osim.
No, there's a din of. No. Urim Tum and the whole thing is a Ness. Urim Tumim is the highest level of Nivu you can have. So if the Urim Tumim tell you you're permitted to wage war, then we're allowed to. And if it's in the context of a Mlechemes Harishus, then there's no Issa Sikun, there's no Avera to put the Jewish soldiers' lives into danger. You know that B'derech HaTeva, if you go to war, you're going to lose some of your soldiers. And there's no Issa to kill the enemy either. It's a special Hetter. And Mechemes Mitzvah, that the Mitzvah itself is Mechayvim, but a Mechemes Rishus, you need the Rishus, first you need authorization from the experts, but the generals to say that it makes sense. And then the Rabbanim have to approve it, and then you have to consult the Urim and Thummim. So then it has a special din of Mechemes Rishus, then it's Mutter.
Why wouldn't Moser Tzach apply to a Goy? I know the Rambam, we assume the Rambam holds that way, but what's the Svarah?
We have a Pasuk that says, Reyacho, that you only chayiv misa if you kill a Yisrael killer, no, you're not chayiv misa. So that's the pilpul. There's a machloikis, there are Sameach and others 100 years ago, where it means that there's no isa, loitzirtzach, it's an isa choyvel, it's a different isa. Or no, there is the regular isa, loitzirtzach, but there's no einish misa. That's the shayla. You're permitted to kill a nochri to save the life of a Yisrael. So the Gemara later talks about Yehorig Vayava by Ritzicha. So the Gemara says it's a svara. How do you know that you say Yehorig Vayava? Someone comes to me with a gun. He says I should kill you, otherwise he's going to kill me. So the Gemara says it's a svara. Why should I be allowed to kill you to save my life? The whole reason for pikuach nefesh, because nefesh Yisrael is chaviv of the Yedi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who says my nefesh is more chaviv than your nefesh? Either you're going to lose your knife, you're going to lose your life because I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to lose my life because he's going to the terrorist is going to kill me. So and nefesh Yisrael is going to be lost. That's what Rashi writes. Rashi over here. My chos is double noch samiktve, dulman dam dehu gabra samiktve. Where is that Gemara? That should be on Daf Ayin Dalet, I think. And that's in Pesachim also. So Rashi, both in Sanhedrin, and in Pesachim writes, he keeps on writing, Nefesh Yisrael, Nefesh Yisrael. Sounds like you only say Yehorek Val Yavar if they want me to kill a Yisrael. So then you say, my chos is, what if they want me to kill a Nochri? Otherwise, they're going to kill me. So from Rashi, it sounds as if that would be permissible. So this was a machlokes in the 1700s, the Nadi Behuda, as a tshuva to who's the one who wrote the editions of Masor Shasas, Rabbi Shai of Berlin. Here on the first page, it says the brackets here on the Masor Shasas. Sometimes they have it written, sometimes it's in brackets. So the original Masoras HaShas was put in by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. And the Ramah quotes from Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. Rabbi Yeshua Boaz wrote the Shilta Gemara on the side of the Rif also. The Ramah quotes him as the Hagos Alfasi. When he quotes things from the Shilta Gemara, calls it the Hagos Alfasi. And then in the 7th, that was before the days of the Ramah. The Ramah was in the middle of the 1500s, so he was before. And then in the 1700s, Rabbi Shai Berlin added an Anmar Mekomis. So on any given page in the Gemara, any given Amud, we'll see that some of the Mar Mekomis and Masor HaShas are in brackets, and some of them are not in brackets. So those are in brackets. It says on the first page, on the title page of the Gemara, that those were added on by Rabbi Shai Berlin. Mishai Pick was his name. So he had a correspondence. He has different tshuvas. Nadi Behuda corresponded with him. So this is one of the short tshuva. Would you say Horeg Vayavar or not? that you're not allowed to kill a Nachri to save the life of Yisrael. So from the Lashon HaRashi says that you are allowed to. So the Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you're not allowed to. You shouldn't take the Rashi literally, you're not allowed to. But that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach paskin the other way. He paskin, those are the Marmekorim that he quoted from the Rambam, the Frankel edition of the Rambam, and the Prisha that's quoted by the Prima Godim. He thought that we should accept La Locha, that position. That it's a lower level of an Issa. It's not an Issa Lo Sirtzach. Yehor Gval Yav is only on Lo Sirtzach. At the Kila Dachri, since it's no Oynish Misa, means that it's not an Issa Lo Sirtzach. It's a lesser Issa. So the Issa like Choyvel Bachavera. So Choyvel Bachavera, you wouldn't say Yehor Gval Yav. So Nachum also, there are different kinds of Melchamas. So you have, let's say, whenever you have a Melchamas Mitzvah, even when you have a Melchemes HaRishus, if you have authorization from the Bez Nagod, the Yom Tovim, and the generals, and so on, then you go to Melchemes HaRishus, even though you know that you're going to lose lives of Jewish soldiers, you know you're going to kill the enemy. That's the din. If it's the context of a Melchemes, so there's a Heta Sikun, you're permitted to put your soldiers' lives into danger, and you're permitted to kill the enemy also. So let's say there's an Irani Dachas, and we ascertain right by the people worship Avodah Zarah. So you have to go burn down the whole city. Burn down the whole city, they won't let you. So the Rambam writes the Loshon, Zor Malayim La Muhammad, the Bez Nagar should put together an army, and they should go wage war against the city. What if they know that they're going to lose a lot of Jewish lives in the Jewish army in order to burn down the whole city? To burn down the whole city is a mitzvah saseh. To lose lives in order to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. When you have a Melchemes mitzvah, that's the din of Muhammad. There's a heter sikun and there's a heter ritzicha. Over here, is there a heter sikun? The Rambam uses the Lashon, Tzorim Aleim La Muhammad. He got that Lashon from the Psukim in Sefer Yoshua. But is it a din of Muhammad? Not really. It's not a din of Muhammad. It's like by Zayin Umis. By Zayin Umis also, it's not really a din of Muhammad. It's a din, hachrim tachrimim. You have to kill every individual person, even if you're walking down the street. The Rambam wrote, now there are no zaynumas kvar rovat zichron, but when there used to be zaynumas, the Rambam says, if I'm walking down the block and I bump into one of the zaynumas and I can fulfill the mitzvah hachrim tachrimim without getting put in prison, you have to do so. If you want to fulfill it bishlei muso, so you have to put together an army. But that's a din amalchamah. It's not really a din of Muhammad. Are you allowed? Are you allowed to put Jewish lives into danger in order to fulfill the mitzvah of burning down the Irani Dachas? Normally, when you have a Muhammad, even Muhammad's Arshus, that's what the Heta Bez Nagodol is. The Bez Nagodol approves it, and the Urim Tumim approve it. So then it has a status of Chaloshem Muhammad's Arshus. So Arshus, there's no Issa Sikun, there's no Issa Ritzicha. When are you going to say over here that Tzorim Aleim La Muhammad has a din of Muhammad? I wonder whether it's true. By a Molik, it's a din of Muhammad Hashem by a Molik. By a Molik, it's a din of Muhammad. It's not a din that each and every individual Amaleki is Chai Mis, and if I can kill him, I should. It's a din if you have an army that's sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Jewish government, no army sponsored by the Jewish government, and the whole din of Amalek doesn't apply. But the Zainumas does apply. That's why Shaul HaMelech lost his Malchus. The Gemara says, Shaul Ba'achas also lo. David Bishnaim Beloy also lost. And Gemara and Yuma. Shaul made one mistake and he lost his whole Malchus. David HaMelech made more than one mistake in his lifetime and he didn't lose his status as Melech. So the Mefarshim ask, it's not fair? Or the Rabban Shalom favored David, even though he made more than one mistake, he let him get away with it? And Shaul, he was so strict, why is that's not fair? So the Chayodim, in his Hesped for the Vilna Goyen, I think, quotes B'Shem HaGro, why was that so? So he says, because the Rambam calls that section Hilchos Melochim U'Melcham Oseyim. Melcham is supposed to be the function of the Melech. The job of the Melech is Lilchom Melcham Es Hashem, to wage war. That's how it says in Tanakh, in different places. So Shaul HaMelech didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Melcham HaBamalek. He left it so. He left it so. And he didn't kill Agag. As Melech, that's what he was supposed to do. David HaMelech's mistakes were as a private individual. They weren't as a Melech. He shouldn't have had the Esek with Bathsheba, and so on. These were private things that had nothing to do with his role as the Melech. So So we have different sama mochemes arishus. It was just for the purpose of parnasa, luchub is parnasas and so on. Then it's a mochemes arishus. So then you have to have rishus from the bez nagon and so on. If it's the Rambam has, if it's mochemes amolek or kibush eretz Yisrael, Rashi writes on the Mishnah only mochemes kibush eretz on the days of Yishuv Binun. So he mentioned the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees, but the Rambam has a listing of what are the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us that there are Taryag Mitzvahs, the end of Makkos. Well, it doesn't tell us which are the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us that certain Mitzvahs, that there's a Machlek, Rabbi Kivir, Rabbi Shmuel, whether the Elohim Tavoid is a Mitzvah or is just a Rishus, and Lo Yitama, whether it's a Mitzvah, Rishus, is that a Rishus or is that a Mitzvah? So the Gemara tells us a little bit things about the Mitzvahs. But the others, we don't know what the Taryag Mitzvahs are. So the Rambam has his listing, and the Ramban disagrees. He deletes a whole bunch of mitzvahs in the listing of the Essen, from the listing of the Lavin, and then he replaces them with others. So in the Hashmotas, in the Mitzvahs Aseh, that's the most famous one from the Ramban, Mitzvah Dalet, in the mitzvahs that the Rambam forget. He always disagrees with the Rambam with great respect. He always refers to him as Harav. In his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, so he says he has the list of mitzvahs. Sase Hashmata Sheishmit Harav, the mitzvah Sase. So mitzvah Dalet Sheishmit Harav is people mistakenly think that the Ramban counted the mitzvah of Hakomas Amdina, and the Rambam didn't count it. So that's what the Megillah Esther comes always to defend the Rambam. So he says the reason why the Rambam didn't count it because it's not Noig L'doros, because the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis. Because the pasuk appears three times in Shir Hashir, Ishbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim Teirim Toiru Asahava Shetechbots. So one of the Shalosh Shavuos, the Gemara says, what are the three Shavuos? What are the Shalosh Shavuos? And one of the Shavuos was that we won't force the issue of establishing a Jewish Medina against the wishes of the Goy. So that was by the Satmara, that was by the Hungarian Rabbanim. The Minkacha, that was why they were opposed to Hakamas HaMedina, it's a violation of the Shalosh Shavuos, not allowed. So many explanations were given why the overwhelming majority of the Rabbanim did not agree with the Minkacha, but he was always cursing the Zionists. He was cursing the secular Zionists, then he would curse the religious Zionists, then he would curse the Aguda. He said, the Aguda is worse than the Mizrahi, they make believe as if they're anti-Zionism, and they're really supporting Zionism. It was such a bug by him. But the overwhelming majority of the Rabbanim did not agree with the Munkacha, did not agree with the Satmar Rebbe. They held that there was no violation of the Shalosh Shavuos for whatever reason. There's a famous letter that the Or Sameach wrote after the signing of the peace treaty at the end of the First World War. I think they signed the peace treaty in San Raman. That was the name of the city somewhere in Europe. I don't remember anywhere it was. Maybe it's in France. I don't know. So the Or Sameach wrote a letter. They always wanted him to write a letter supporting Zionism. So after the peace agreement, after the First World War, so he wrote that after San Raman, Sar Pachan HaShavuos. We don't have to be worried about the Shavuos anymore, because when they gave Palestine to the British, so the British said, now they're in charge. They said, they're going to give it over to the Jews. They agreed they're going to give it to the Jews. So it's not against their wishes. They promised they're going to give it to the Jews. That's what he wrote. Others wrote different. Rabbi Shlomo Aviner, many years ago, printed. He's a popular figure in Eretz Yisrael. He has a column in the newspaper every week. He's on the radio. So he published an essay many years ago on one of the early. I forgot the name of the publication. Not Truman, before Truman. I forgot the name. He published an essay there with 26 different reasons. Different posts can give different reasons why the Shalosh Shavuos are not binding anymore. Why it's not a problem to establish a Medina.
Two questions. One is David's leading of the nation, leading for Uriah, where he sent in people unnecessarily into dangerous areas. Wasn't that a problem in his nation? The way he fought a war.
He was taking the comma. He wanted to marry his wife, so he did. He did an avla.
Isn't that he brought in? It wasn't just Uriah. He sent the whole battalion unnecessarily.
Yeah.
That was
I don't
problem
know.
In the way he led.
I don't know. It's a good question.
And secondly, when it comes to We said by Mechamas HaRashus that you needed both the Urim V'Tumim and the Sanhedrin. So would we say that by Ir Nidachas you also needed the Urim V'Tumim to allow you to fight the Nidachas?
I just wonder, by Ir Nidachas you need Urim V'Tumim and Sanhedrin to declare that it makes sense and you're allowed to do it, then it has its status on Mechamas HaRashus, then there's no Issa Sikha and no Issa Ritzicha. What about Ir Nidachas? The Rambam uses a Lashon Tzar Malein LaMuhammad. Literally, Muhammad, that you have to wipe out the Irani Dachas, even at the expense of losing lives. I would think that not. I would think that the Mokam Stakhanas and Foshas, you don't fulfill the mitzvah burning down the Irani Dachas. So you leave them alone. I don't think that's a din Muhammad. I don't know. I would think that not. Zar Malem La Muhammad, you get army and you pressure them that they have to give in. But if you know you're going to, if you think they're going to lose lives from the members of the army, I wonder whether there's a din of Melchama for that.
Why can't the Sanhedrin, who's martyred by Melchama Shushos, also be martyred the Sikun by
Does it make sense? Why should they? We're very unhappy about Abu Dazara, especially in Eretz Israel. But to the extent that we should give up our lives in order to burn down the city,
why is it less sensible than Melchama Shushos?
I don't know. Mechamas HaRashus, they need a parnasa. So the government has the obligation to take care of parnasa. Government should take care of religious activities as well. But does it make sense? I don't know. I'm just wondering out loud. I don't know.
The question is burning down the city or making them
a
altogether?
To make the Muhammad, to give him the death penalty. Okay, so to give them the death penalty, they're supposed to get a death penalty. So if they're not going to let us, so we'll have to kill them without a gemara.
Right.
We're trying to give that's the din.
Even at the risk of losing lives.
Even at the risk of losing the lives of the people who deserve to have the death penalty. But the shaila is, what about losing the lives of the soldiers who were trying? Does that make sense? I don't know. I wonder. I don't know. So again, so the Ramban has this famous mitzvah Sesed Dalet. So the Megillah Esther understood that the Ramban was adding a mitzvah onto the Rambam, Hakamas HaMedina, and he says you shouldn't think that it was only a mitzvah in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, like Rashi wrote on the Mishnah. He doesn't quote the Rashi. Rashi sounds like only in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. In 1948 it wasn't a mitzvah. So the Ramban writes not so. It applies in all the generations. If the Jewish people has the ability to put together an army, and they have to be Kovash Eretz Yisrael from the Nochrim, and to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So the Megillah Esther explains that he always comes to defend the Rambam. Why the Rambam didn't agree with the Rambam? So he says the Rambam holds. The Rambam wrote 14 Kololim, 14 Sharoshim, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which mitzvahs belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which don't. So the first Kolol is that he says you only include mitzvahs that are Isa. Then he says you only include mitzvahs that are Pshuto Shon Mikra. You don't include things that are drushas of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because Torah Shabbat Peh, every year you can make another drusha. You're going to have 640 mitzvahs. You have to throw out an old mitzvah. Then you can't put a new drusha. Every year they come up with new drushas. You have to throw out old mitzvahs. So the Rambam understood the 613 mitzvahs in Pshuto Shal Mikra. And the Bezin has a right to be Mechadish additional mitzvahs as we go along. Mitzvahs deraisa, based on reading in between the lines. Then the Rambam has another klal. You only include in the minyan mitzvahs, mitzvahs that are noig l'doris. But that was only Hayrashah. That's a nevuah. That's not Dvar nevuah. Torah. And mitzvahs means something that's noig l'doris. Like Rashi writes from the Sifro on the opening pasuk in Parshat Tzaveh, Loshen Tzaveh, the Loshen Ziris, Miyadu l'doris. It's only called a mitzvah if it's noig l'doris. So the Megillah Esther comes to defend the Rambam. He understood that the Ramban was counting the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina, and the Rambam didn't count it. So he says the Rambam didn't count it because of the Sholosh Shavuos, because Bizman that Dumas Olam don't want. So we're not supposed to. We don't have an obligation to put together an army to wage war against them because of the Sholosh Shavuos. So that's when the Megillah Esther writes. So the the mitzvah will apply Limos HaMashiach. When Mashiach will come, we will have a mitzvah to have a Jewish government in Eretz. But since it doesn't apply for a few centuries, because it'll be in violation of the Sholosh Shavuos, so therefore it's called the mitzvah Shein HaNeheges L'doros. So the Avnei Nezer has a Jew where he disagrees with this Megillas Esther. He said, that's not correct. The Rambam counts all the mitzvahs of Afrashas, Trumas, and Maestras, even though the Rambam writes that Trumas and Maestras, Bizman and Zer is only Midirabbana. The Rambam writes all the mitzvahs, HaKrabas, HaKarbonas, even though Bizman and Zer is not based on Migdush. You can't be Makrab Karbonas. So that's not called the mitzvah Shein and the Hegas Lidurus. If the mitzvah of HaKamas Amdina will apply again, Limos HaMashiach, temporarily for a few centuries, it doesn't apply because of the Shal Shavuos. So you can't say that it's Ein Nehegas L'Doris. Ein Nehegas L'Doris means it's only by definition, only Ayru Ashur. Not that there's a period of time where you're not allowed to fulfill a mitzvah, but the Mos HaMashiach, the mitzvah will come back again. So the truth of the matter is that the Pashtas is it's a total misunderstanding of what the Rambam and the Ramban were fighting about. The Rambam does count the mitzvah of HaKomas HaMedina. The Gemara in the second paragraph, Dav Chof on the base, points out, Shalosh mitzvahs, Nitztavi Yisrael b'chnisasam l'oretz. The Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in a specific order. So the first mitzvah is L'ham and L'hem Melech, to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael, preferably a Melech, preferably a Malchus Beis David, but to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And then the second is L'ach Rezar Shal Amalek. Amalek has to be a Melcham, and Melcham has to be by an army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't have a Malchus Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have the mitzvah of Amalek. The Gemara says it's in a particular order. L'hamid l'hamelech, to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish government should sponsor an army, and then l'hach rezarish on Amalek, because Amalek is a dim olchama. It's not a chayvus hariga, not the same as Zainumas that you can even fulfill, not in the context of Muhammad. And then the third is nivnas l'habeis abchira, to build a base on Migdash. So the Pashta says that's not what the Ramban was arguing with the Rambam, whether HaKomos HaMedina is a mitzvah. The Rambam also counted that mitzvah. The Ramban, that's the bulk of the Ramban, and mitzvah Dalet is about HaKomos HaMedina, that applies in all the generations. Jewish people has an obligation, thank you, has an obligation to put together an army and to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz. So the Rambam agrees to that. The point that the Ramban added on was the mitzvah, every Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael. That the Rambam quotes all the dinim, Hilchas Malochim, he's supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't count it in the minyan on mitzvah. So that's what the Rambam thought, that should be counted as a separate mitzvah. So that's a discussion, why the Rambam didn't count that as a mitzvah. To live, mitzvah says it, to live. V'harashtam es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo. So the harashtam es ha'aretz means we should seize control of Eretz Yisrael, chase out the Zainumas who are living there, whoever's living there, and then Vishaftama, we should live in Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't they count that mitzvah? That's the kash. So some Achrayim answer the Knesset Agdoila, answers that the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah midirabbanan. So very doichik answer, the Pashta says that it's not correct. Pashta says that the Rambam also agrees. A pasuk in Chumash, how can you say it's only midirabbanan? Pashta says that it certainly is a mitzvah min haTorah. So most of the Achrayim don't agree with the Knesset HaGdol. Most assume that the Rambam also agrees that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, but for some reason or another, it's included in some other mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer claims, he says that this klalia explains a lot of, several things, not a lot, explains several problems in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam Shita is whenever you have one mitzvah that leads up to fulfillment of another mitzvah, so you don't count it twice. Like you don't count the same mitzvah twice. Even though it says four places in Chumash you should wear tefillin, and the Gemara says you mevatel four mitzvahs, so the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. So here also you have a mitzvah, achrim tachrim, to wipe out the zainumis, and then v'yishavtem bo, we should live in Eretz Yisrael. Does it make sense? We should go wage war, wipe out the Zionists, then we'll move back to Muncie, move back to America. So what do we wipe out the Zionists for? So the whole purpose of Hachrim Tachrimim is that we should be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer says that this is the answer to several problematic things that the Rambam has in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Whenever you have one mitzvah that leads up to another mitzvah, that's like Kefal HaMitzvah. So the Rambam will only count it once. Before the Avnei Nezer was 100 years ago. He died 100 years ago. Sachat Shavu Rebbe, others before his time, they gave different suggestions why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Some said because it's part of the mitzvah, Uvoy Sidbok, to become close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the There are different ways to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says there in the end of Ksubas, Kol Ador Beretz Yisrael Kili Yesh Lo Alaka, Kol Ador B'Chutz Lo Etz Kilo Ein Lo Alaka. There's more Hashgacha Protes in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lo'etz. So living in Eretz Yisrael is one of the different ways to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others suggest that the Rambam, several Achrani, but they also all the same signon. The Rambam agrees that there's certainly a mitzvah in Ator to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he thinks that it's included in some other mitzvahs. Others say, the Ramban HaChumash points out in a few places, that any mitzvah that you fulfill at Eretz Yisrael is enhanced. If you shake a lulav in Eretz Yisrael, it's more significant than shaking a lulav in Chutz Lo'etz. Listen to Tkir Shoif and Eretz Yisrael, it enhances every mitzvah. There are banas like that. Not only the mitzvah Tliyas Baritz only apply in Eretz Yisrael and Atara, they don't apply Madarais and Chutz Lo'etz at all, but even the mitzvahs that are not agricultural mitzvahs, the Ikam of Hashmiris Kal mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah. It enhances each one of the 613 mitzvahs. Every mitzvah that you do in Eretz Yisrael is more choshev or v'chayna v'chayna. Other suggestions. So that's which are the Melchemes mitzvahs. So again, Rashi on the Mishnah writes the only one and only Melchemes mitzvah is Kibush Yeshua Sar. So the Ramban says like the Rashi, Kibush Yeshua. But it's not only in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, it's Bizmanaza also. Ramban writes there in Mitzvah Dalet. And the Rambam doesn't really disagree with that, establishing a Medina. The Rambam disagreed, the Rambam did count the mitzvah of Lahamed Lahamelech to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah that the Rambam didn't count was the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. That was the Pashtuses that the Megillas Esther misunderstood what the Hasogas Ramban was. He misunderstood. He thought the Hasogas Ramban was the Rambam forgot to count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. The Rambam did count the mitzvah. That's Lahamed Lahamelech to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So one form of Mechametz Mitzvah is Kibush Eretz Yisrael, or the Gemara says in Erevin, it's quoted in Hilchas Shabbos, Bizman Hazeh, it doesn't apply in the days of Yosef Karo. If Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo was not under Jewish control. There were a couple of Jewish farmers, but the government was not under Jewish control. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a din from the Gemara in Erevin, if Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, and the enemy comes, and they don't threaten to kill anybody. They're not going to kill anybody. They just threaten, we want to take over one city from Eretz Yisrael. And if the Jews will resist, then they'll have to kill people. But right now, they're not threatening anyone's lives. So maybe we should say, Pikuach Nefesh is doicha the mitzvah of maintaining Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, that's a Melchemes mitzvah. You have to go to war even on Shabbos. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. On Shabbos, if the enemy comes, they're coming on Aliske Tevin Vekash. They just want to take over a farm and keep it. It shouldn't be under Jewish control anymore. So that's a Melchemes mitzvah to preserve Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. The Ramban said Melchemes mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael and to preserve whatever we have under Jewish control. Not to surrender it to the enemies. There used to be a Yiddish writer for the Yiddish newspaper. So he said he doesn't understand. The Satmar contradict themselves and the Merkaz Arab contradict themselves. Merkaz Arab say you're not allowed to surrender 1 inch of land to the Goyim. And the Satmar say you should give away the whole Medina to the Goyim. You should give everything back to England. And then when it comes to Shnas HaShemitah, so the Merkaz Arab people say, sell the whole land to the Arabs. And Azoi, all year long, they say, not allowed to give an inch of land to the Arabs. And the Satmar say, not allowed to sell an inch of land to the Arabs. It's an Isa Lo Sechonim. Sitlam Chanaim Mekarka. But they say, you have to give away the whole country to the Arabs. So aren't they both contradicting each other? So the answer is that neither is contradicting. They're two different issues. One is a question, Lo Sechonim Sitlam Chanoi Mekarka. Who's the owner of the farm? Who owns the farm? So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to sell a farm to a non-Jew. So that's what the Satmar is saying. You shouldn't have a het to mechir. It's a violation of Lo Sechonim. That's what the Nitziv says. they wanted to avoid violation of Shemitah. Shemitah b'zman hazeh only the Rabbanon. So they went and they sold the land to an Arab. They violated an Issa d'Oraisa. They were afraid of an Issa d'Rabbanon, and they fall into a situation they violated an Issa d'Oraisa. So what's the justification? How come Merkaz Arab says you should rely the head to Mechira? So they gave different explanations why there is no Issa Loisa Chanim over here. Because it's L'Toiv Oseinu. If we sell it to the Goyim, then there's a head to they assume that there's a head to do Avodah Zakarka somehow. It'll help for the Jewish economy. So the only time there's an Issa to sell a farm to a non-Jew is L'Toiv HaNochri. But if it's L'Toiv HaYisrael, it's Mutta. Or the heter is based on the Sefer Achinuch, that it's only if you sell the land permanently to the Nochri. But if you sell it only temporarily, everybody knows you're going to get it back after Shemitah is over, then the Sefer Achinuch sounds like there's no Issa Loisachonim. Whatever, for various reasons. So that machlokes is on Loisachonim, selling a farm to a non-Jew, there is a violation. Everyone agrees there's a din of Loisachonim. And there are those who hold that it's mutter for the Shemitah purposes because it's L'tov HaSeinu, because it's only temporary. The other issue is a different issue. Do the Jews have the right to control Eretz Yisrael? Not, you have a right to buy a farm in Eretz Yisrael. That does not make like this. The Satmar held that the Jews are not allowed to control Eretz Yisrael. That's a violation of the Shalosh Shavuos. And everybody else held that there's no violation of Shalosh Shavuos. But there are two different issues. One is an issue, the first issue about selling the land. That's an issue of Loisachanim, ownership of the field. The other one, let's say I own a house. I own my apartment. My landlord wouldn't rent me the apartment unless I bought it. So I own two apartments in my building, 24 bedrooms. I'm the owner. But is it a Jewish government? No, the government in New York City is a Goyish government. The two different issues. Who owns the house? And who, under which government is it? Two different issues. So again, so we have a few melchemes. So Rashi writes only one melchemes mitzvah. Rashi and the Mishnah holds melchemes Yeshua lich b'shas haaretz. And Ramban thinks not only Yeshua, the Dora Doris also. The Jewish people have an obligation to put together an army, not only to preserve all of Eretz Yisrael, which is under Jewish control. That's a beferish gemara in Erevin that's quoted in the Hilchos Shabbos. Go to war even on Shabbos to be Mechal Shabbos, at least Ketev Mevakash. If the Goyim want to take away the Jewish government's control over a section of Eretz Yisrael, Raman says not only to preserve all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, to establish a Medina. Also, we have an obligation to Doris. It's not only a din in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Rashi sounds like he held it as only Harasha. It was only Melchemes Mitzvah in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. 1948, there was no Mitzvah. That's what it sounds like in Rashi. Ramban says no. The mitzvah to establish a Medina is Ladaris, to go to war. That's a Melchemes Mitzvah. What else is Melchemes Mitzvah? So the Rambam says, Amalek is Melchemes Mitzvah. Okay. Then the Rambam writes, Hatzolas Yisrael. Let's say there were Jews in Iraq. There were Jews in Iran who have the Sakona. And the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael has the ability. You have to have an army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that it should be called the Machne Yisrael, that it should be shaykh to discuss a Melchemes Mitzvah. You have an obligation to save people's lives. Are you mechuyev to save people's lives if you're going to lose your life? That's the pikuach nefesh is doicha, the mitzvah of saving the other one's life. But if you want to go to Melchemeh, so that's the din of Melchemeh. Melchemeh, you're permitted and obligated to put your life in danger. Every Melchemeh b'derech ha-teva, Jewish soldiers are going to lose their lives. So whenever you have any Melchemes Mitzvah, the first battalion that's going to be sent into the enemy area is going to get killed. The next one will start to win. So the first group of soldiers is to say, Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha, I don't want to go. Send someone else in. The next group is, I don't want to go. Whoever goes in first is going to get killed. So the answer is, that's a din of Melchemeh. You have a hetah sikun. So it's even true by Melchemes Rishus, and it's certainly true by Melchemes Mitzvah. So let's say, if you have over here in Crown Heights or another Muncie, they have a group that whenever there's trouble, so you call them up and they come and they'll help you. They're not allowed to put their lives in danger because they make a calculation. If they're going to come, they're going to save the Jewish lives. Here there's a din, a Melchemes Mitzvah, the Rambam writes, that the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, who sponsors the Jewish army, has an obligation to go save the lives of the Jewish people, even if it means that they're going to lose Jewish lives. You don't say the Pikach Nefesh of the Jewish life is doiches, so you don't have to go to Muhammad. That's what Muhammad's mitzvah is all about. We know that people are going to lose their lives. So the Rambam says that too is a Muhammad's mitzvah. If you just want to make parnasa, that's a Muhammad's rishus. So the Gemara in Saita, the end of Saita, the Gemara has a perik, Moshuach Muhammad, has some of the dinim of Muhammad there. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim regarding a certain Muhammad, whether it's a Muhammad's rishus. Muhammad's mitzvah is very unclear. Which Muhammad are they fighting about? So the Gemara says, "Hakol ma'idim Muhammad's Yeshua lichbash es haaretz." Rashi on the Mishnah is quoting from that Loshon on Gemara. They're in Saita, the end of the last Amud in Perik Moshoch Muhammad. So the Gemara says, "There, Hakol ma'idim all the Tanoim agree. Muhammad's Yeshua lichbash es haaretz is certainly a Muhammad's mitzvah." And when is there machlekes Tanoim, whether it's a Muhammad's mitzvah or Muhammad's Yeshua's? If we want to wage war against a neighboring country because we're afraid that in the future they're going to start up with us. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a marshal. He said that after the Second World War there was a debate in the American Congress. Russia was fighting together with America at that time to beat out the Nazis. So after the Second World War, Russia was becoming stronger and stronger. So the congressmen were afraid the day will come that Russia will attack America. But right now, Russia was not attacking America. Russia wasn't so strong at that time. So they had a debate. Somehow we should wage war against Russia to cripple them so they shouldn't be able to start up with us in the future. There was a debate, and they decided not to. So that's what the Gemara had such a machlokes hatanoim. The Gemara has, if you want to wage war against one of the neighboring countries near Eretz Yisrael, we're afraid that in the future, in another couple of years, that country is going to become powerful. They're going to start attacking the Jewish people. If they're attacking the Jewish people now, so that's what the Rambam says, that is, let's say, Mohammed Yom HaKippurim. Mohammed Yom HaKippurim. The Arabs started up, but the Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, the Arabs were building up soldiers on the border of Eretz. So they didn't attack the Jews, but the Jews knew they were preparing to attack. So that was Mamish, Lahatzel Yisrael. That was to save the lives of the Jewish people. But if it's not imminent, it's a distant threat. We think in a few years they're going to become powerful and they'll be instant in attacking the Jewish state. So that was a machlekes hatanoim. Is that considered melchemes mitzvah? That like lehatz yisrael miatzar, or is that considered a melchemes rishus? Where it says lemay nafkemina, so one nafkemina would be the need authorization for the urim betumim and for the Sanhedrin. But as that we have no Sanhedrin, we have no urim betumim. So if you're afraid of if it's a melchemes mitzvah, then you don't need Urim Tumim in Sanhedrin. If it's only Mechemes and Shus, you have no right to go to such war unless you have authorization. Yeah, then Gemara has, that's our Gemara says that difference between Mechemes and Shus and Mechemes Mitzvah. They need authorization. You mean when you have a Mechemes Mitzvah, there's no mitzvah to ask the Urim Tumim? It's not exactly, there is a mitzvah. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Bamidbar Chav Zayin when Yeshua ben Nun was appointed as the Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to appoint Yeshua ben Nun as the Melech to take over after he's going to die. Then he said, "With an Elo Zarkan Yamin v'Sholo b'Mishpato Urim." What does it mean? So the Gemara says that pasuk tells you who has the right to ask Shailas of Dur Metum. The same boy's dating a girl and he doesn't know whether he should marry her. And his uncle happens to be the Kohen Gadol. So he asks the Kohen Gadol, "Could you do me a favor? Ask the Urim Tumim." So you have no right to ask the Urim Tumim. The Urim Tumim is not going to answer. "I don't know what I should do for a living. Should I go into chinuch or should I go into psychology? So I'm going to ask the Urim Tumim." So the Gemara says, if it's a private person, you have no right to ask the Urim Tumim. The Urim Tumim is not going to answer. Only if it's a tzibudik issue, the Gemara has, who has a right to ask the Urim Tumim? The Melech, the Moshuach Muhammad, or the Sanhedrin, they're asking for a klal issue. So then you have a right to ask your Urim Tumim, and the Urim Tumim will give you an answer. But if it's a private person, you have no right to ask. So when you wage a Mechemes Mitzvah, the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, there certainly is a mitzvah to ask the Urim and Tumim. How should we navigate the war? Should we start from the east? Should we start from the west? Should we emphasize this or that? Maybe you shouldn't go to war today. Maybe you should go wait till next year to go to war. So in Tarach it says that you used to ask Urim and Tumim. That's a klal issue. But that's not Miyakev. If you have an Urim and Tumim, Bizmanas if you don't have an Urim and Tumim. So you've got to say there's no Mechemes Mitzvah. You can't wage Mechemes Mitzvah. No. Urim and Tumim is not Miyakev in the Mechemes Mitzvah. Seichel dictates if it's a tzorche rabim, a tzorche hatzibur, to know how to wage the war, whether we should do this year or wait till next year. So the mitzvah to ask Urim and Tumim, Urim and Tumim will answer. But if you have Urim and Tumim available now, so you don't go to Melchemes Mitzvah without Urim and Tumim. But Melchemes HaRishus, you have no right to go to Melchemes HaRishus without authorization to Urim and Tumim. Because you have an Isa Ritzicha, whatever, Isa Ritzicha, Isa Chavola, whatever, you have an Isa Sikun, you're not allowed to put your soldiers in danger. So the Gemara says there, if the Jewish government is concerned, right now it's not Lahatzi Somi Atzar. In the future, they're afraid, they're afraid that the neighboring countries are going to attack Eretz Yisrael in another couple of years when they'll build up their army. Are you allowed to cripple them now? So that's a Machlokes HaTorah, whether that's a Melchemes Mitzvah or Melchemes HaShus, the my Nafkamina. Our Gemara says, and our Mishnah says, Nafkamina, whether the Urim Tumim is Ma'akev or not. What if you don't have, let's say, Bizmana said, if you don't have Urim Tumim, you don't have Sanhedrin. So would the Israeli government have a right to wage war like that? So that would depend on the Machlokes HaTorah. If it's a Melchemes HaShus, we have no right to do it. Melchemes Mitzvah, you have a right to do it. The other Gemara gives a different Nafkamina. Interesting. Dealing more in the end of the last Omer in Perik Moshoch Mechama, Morgan is a different Avkemina. Is it a Mechemes Roshus, a Mechemes Mitzvah? Is it Dinu Ha'isik Ben Mitzvah, Potter Ben HaMitzvah? When they're busy waging war, let's say the Mechemes Yom HaKippur went on for a while. So the Mechemes Yom HaKippur was going on during Sukkot. So was it obligatory to supply the soldiers with Dalet Minim? A lot of them didn't have Dalet Minim on Sukkot. So the din is Oisik b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if it's Mechemes Mitzvah, you're in the middle of a Mechemes Mitzvah now. And tomorrow the Mechemes is going to continue. At night they don't, sometimes, years ago when they didn't have radar, so the war was only in the daytime. Now they have radar, the war goes by Yom HaBalayla. That's why in the Mechemes Sheshet HaYamim, and Mechemes Yom HaKippurim, a lot of times they lost track. They didn't know what day of the week it was because they were fighting by Yom HaBalayla. They knew the war started on Yom Kippur, but they didn't know which day was Sukkot. So some of them in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Sveka Diyama in Eretz Yisrael. They never made a Gzeir of Sveka Diyama, but during the Mechemet Yom HaKippurim, some of the Jews, some of the soldiers in Eretz Yisrael didn't know what day of the month it was. They knew when the war began. But they were fighting by Yom HaBalayla, so they lost track of what day it was, Pashin. So that's a shaila. There were many soldiers in the Mechemes Yom HaKippurim who didn't get Dalet Minim. So the shaila is, if it's a Mechemes Mitzvah, then Oisik B'Mitzvah, Patam and HaMitzvah. Because he's Oisik B'Mitzvah today, and even when you have a break, he's going to continue the Mitzvah tomorrow and the day after. The Mechemes is not over. Just because you have a break for an hour or two. He's going to continue the mitzvah tomorrow and the day after also. That's that the Rishonim talk about that. In the days of the Rishonim, they used to have boys would travel. Today we have also. Boys would travel to go learn in the yeshiva. So that's as guys traveling to Eretz Yisrael to go learn in the yeshiva. So some Rishonim say, if you're learning, you're not potter from davening. You don't say, hoisik b'mitzvah, potter b'na mitzvah. He's going to learn all afternoon. He doesn't have to daven mincha. Just keep on learning. Then when he wants to go to sleep, he finished learning, then he'll daven ma'arif. But he's not mechiv to daven mincha. No. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, and the Babli says, Oisik b'mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah never patters anything. Yeah? So the Yerushalmi says, why? Because then it'll turn out that his learning is shalom anos l'kayim. Shalom anos lasas. Liman ha-Torah has to be lom anos lasas. The guy's going to learn all day. He's not going to daven mincha. He's not going to make a Seder on Pesach night. He's not going to shake a lulav. He's not going to say halal. He's not going to do any mitzvah. He's busy learning. So that doesn't apply. Yosik b'mitzvah, potam na mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah never patters from other mitzvahs. But going to travel in the yeshiva, that does part. That's a Mishnah in Sukkah. Holchim ledvar mitzvah, apturim min asukkah. So Rashi gives the moshel on the Mishnah in Sukkah at the end of the second parak, traveling to go learn in the yeshiva. When he's learning in the yeshiva, it doesn't part to him, because that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But when he's going traveling to learn in the yeshiva, that's a different mitzvah. That's a different mitzvah. So that does part to him. To travel does part to him. So let's say the guy years ago, in the days of the Mishnah, the guy has to travel today. You can get from Eretz Yisrael to America, if I can, whatever, you can get in less than 12 hours. But in the days of the Rishonim, they would travel a few days on the highway. So some of the Rishonim, right, they wouldn't daven Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv at all, because they're holchem ledvar mitzvah, they're going to continue tomorrow, and tomorrow would take 2 or 3 or 4 days, 5 days. It took a long time. So there's still Oisik ben mitzvah the whole time. From the beginning to the end, Oisik ben mitzvah. One is Oisik in Talmud Torah, is not pata from other mitzvahs. But one is Isaac and going to learn in the yeshiva, as a Rashi says on the Mishnah there in Sukkah, is Potter. So that was a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Tosis in Perek HaKoines has a kasha. If a person is wearing tzitzis, a person has a mezuzah on his door, he's mekayem in mitzvah all day long. So you're not mechuyev to do anything else. I'm Potter from davening. I'm part of shaking a lulav, part of saying, I have a mezuzah on my door, I have a tzitz on my beggar, I'm a guy in mitzvah all day long. So Tyson's answer is in Perek HaKoines, in Bava Kamma, in Sukkah, Tyson's answer is, you're only part of from the second mitzvah if it's Eepshe L'Kaim Shneim. If it's Eepshe L'Kaim Shneim, so you can fulfill. You can daven with the tzitzis. You're wearing the tzitzis. You have the mezuzah on the door. You can fulfill the second mitzvah. It doesn't. You don't have to stop doing the first mitzvah. You can do the two mitzvahs simultaneously with one hand. Have the tzitzis on my body. I'm wearing the tzitzis. I'm wearing tefillin all day long. Let's say, so I can daven also. That's a klal. Efshe l'kayim shneim versus the efshe l'kayim shneim is a klal with respect to eser dechalos esei. Omer Rish Lakish, the Gemara quotes Rish Lakish in the beginning of Yevamos in the Sugya of Esa Decha Lo Sese, Kol Makam Shata Moitze Esa Velo Sese, Ima Te Yoch Lekayim Shnei Mutov. The Esa is not Decha Lo Sese if it's Epshe Lekayim Shnei. If you love, and if it's Epshe Lekayim Shnei, you have an Esa, the Yitcha Lo Sese. So Tosis holds that Oisik Be Mitzvah, Pata Ben HaMitzvah, is not Hutro. It's a Bechina like the Chuyah. Because I'm Oisik in the first mitzvah, that's Decha, the obligation to observe the second mitzvah. So it's only doicha if it's the Yabshel HaKayim Shneim. It's Yabshel HaKayim Shneim, it's not doicha. That's Taisa Shita. So the Bukhama traveling plane, they can have a mincha on the plane, they can have a shachris on the plane. What's the problem? So according to Taisa, you don't say, Isaac ben mitzvah, potam and a mitzvah. But the Rishonim who disagree with Taisa, the Ran in Sukkah, disagrees with the Taisa. Abchaim Arzarua, the son of the Arzarua, has Shadash Jewish Marach Arzarua. So he has also the Tshuva. He writes, that was the common practice in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, when the Bochum would travel for a few days to get to the yeshiva, so they wouldn't daven Shachris Mincha Marv the whole time that they were traveling, even though it didn't take away from there. They were traveling on a coach. They could daven Mincha while they're traveling on the coach, so they had a pause in between. He says, Oisik v'mitzvah, potam v'mitzvah, is potam, even if it's Epshel HaKayim Shnei. What do you do with the mezuzah, the pischo, and this?
It's not oisik.
It's not oisik.
The mezuzah's there, you're not doing anything.
Not doing it's a hisaskos. There is no din, ha-mekayim mitzvah, potam and ha-mitzvah. There's no such din if one is mekayim a mitzvah. If you're doing a hisaskos, and once you nail the mezuzah on the door, you're not being oisik in the mitzvah anymore. Rav Soloveitchik liked that, and he said, v'haraya, the Gemara gives in Sukkah an application of the din oisik b'mitzvah potam and ha-mitzvah. A person has a Judaica store and he's selling tefillin or tzitzis, or he's selling svarim, so he's potam and ha-mitzvah. What mitzvah is he mekayim? That's his parnasa. He sells tzitzis and he sells tefillin, but he's being misasek in tzorchei mitzvah. So the din is hisaskas patas even if you're not mekayim the mitzvah, and if you're mekayim a dozen pater if you're not misasek. The hisaskas b'mitzvah. Patas mena mitzvah. Mikai mitzvah doesn't pat. So here, let's say they're traveling to the yeshiva, so they keep on, they had to get on the plane, then they have to get off the plane, they have to take a taxi, there is a hisaskas. Right now there's no hisaskas. But even if in the middle there's no hisaskas, but there was hisaskas in the beginning, there's going to be hisaskas in the end. So hisaskas in the mitzvah patters you. That's how the Ran disagrees with the Baal Meitar. He holds even if it's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, also patters. So the Gemara says there in the last Omid Beis, Perek Moshuach Melchama, the Gemara says the Machloikis Hatanoim. If the Jewish government wants to go wage war against one of the neighboring countries because they're afraid in another couple of years they're going to have a strong army and then they're going to attack us, so they want to prevent it now, is that already a Melchemes Mitzvah or is only Melchemes Hoshus? So Nafkemina number one is whether you need authorization for the Bez Nagodol and the Sanhedrin. It's our Mishnah. The Gemara there gives a different Nafkemina. Would they be, if you're waging such a war, would they be putter? Would they be putter from Dalad Minim in the middle of the war? Would they be putter from Tfilin? Let's say they ran on Yom Kippur to wage a war. They didn't take that Tfilin with them. They were called up dummy quickly. So is the Jewish government obligated to supply them with Tfilin? Or do you say, no, it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. They're preserving Eretz Yisrael in Jewish hands. Melchemes Mitzvah. So you putter from the second Mitzvah. It's a Mitzvah. Putter from a Mitzvah. They putter from the second Mitzvah. That's how the Gemara says. It's Mamash Melchemes Mitzvah. It's considered Isaac by mitzvah, so you potters you from other mitzvahs.
According to that, Ran, if the Bakram would have him even find the coat, would that be qualified to be
done? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. We were just introducing the topic of Melchemes Mitzvah at the bottom of Tezayin and Aleph. Okay.